Welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile, and my guests in the studio live today are musicians Cedric Watson and Desiree Champagne. So welcome, you guys. Thanks for that song, the kickoff.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I think we'll just sit and listen to the two of you play all day. It's kind of what I want to do is just kick back. And I want to first, Cedric, talk about that accordion you're playing. How old is that accordion? That's a little Hohner you have there.
Yep, it's a Hohner Erica. It's a double row. I think it may have been made like in 1979. I got it from a guy named, his name is Glenn Alessi. And you can always call on him and talk to him about anything when it comes to like, hey, I can't find this kind of accordion or that kind of accordion. You know anyone that has one? And I was looking for a Hohner Erica. And I just so happened to be in Germany at the time touring with the band. It was about 3 or 4 years ago. I figured since I was there, I looked for one, and the guy introduced me to Glenn Alessi, and he hooked me up with this accordion.
It's a great, I mean, I love the looks of it.
Oh, thank
you. It's a great kind of black and orange color inside, but it's got a great old look to it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the two of you have been playing, sometimes just the two of you, sometimes in a trio.
Oh, yeah. This is Desiree Champagne. She can introduce yourself, Desiree. Tell her who you are.
Yeah, you don't. But, Desiree, where did you grow up?
In Hanville, Louisiana, about 20 minutes from New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And how did the two of you hook up?
Kind of on two different occasions.
And you had been playing music prior to meeting Cedric?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of just fiddling around on the guitar. Played in the band since fifth grade. I played the flute in marching band, so I kind of have a musical background there.
Yeah.
And I met him at Bisbano's on one occasion, and then at the Blue Moon on another occasion, and we completely forgot that we had met the first time.
Yeah. Now, guitar, how old were you when you started playing guitar?
Oh, not old at all. I didn't start playing until I got in college.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where were you going to school at?
UL.
Oh, here. Right here. Okay.
Right
all
here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Doing acoustic, electric?
Acoustic.
Both? Okay.
Yeah, acoustic, yeah. And now I have an electric.
What drew you to guitar?
Just music, just in general. I like music all the way around, so any instrument I can play, I'll do it.
Yeah.
She's a really beautiful singer, too.
And a singer.
But she can create words on the spot, you know, like naturally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Were you singing in some of the other, you know, other performances that you were doing prior to meeting Cedric?
Well, I really wasn't out there, you know, like that. And that was just an open mic night. And I sung that night and got an ovation, a standing ovation. So,
yeah.
But I sing in a choir, church choir.
As you
all
grew
my
up
life.
Doing
yeah,
that.
As I grew up.
You see so many incredible singers
mm-hmm.
that came out of the choirs.
Yeah.
You know, and still in the choirs.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great way for people to be introduced to music period, whether that's with instruments. Do you ever do any singing in a choir, Cedric?
Not really. My family, they kind of sing like the, you know, the spirituals and the gospel and everything, but I was never really a part of it.
Yeah.
I just kind of like sat there and listened, and sometimes I'd even like leave if the energy got too high. I didn't know what was happening, you know?
Yeah. Like as a young kid, leave because it would kind of freak you out a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me and my sister would look at each other because my granny should take us over to her mom's house.
And this was over in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd look at each other and we kind of like, when they go to singing, like, you know, chanting and stuff, we just got out of there. But now I appreciate it much more.
Yeah. What would you think was going to happen?
I don't know. It just something didn't feel right. But now it feels just right.
You have to have
so much experience, you know.
I mean, it's a cool thing what your history has kind of followed. It's interesting hearing that as a kid. That's what you did because, you know, I think of then when you really got involved in doing some of the jurés, you know, from this area.
It helped me appreciate it more.
And that's real true. I mean, that's a spiritual.
It's funny because even me and Desiree, like, we know, like, a lot of the same spiritual songs and old gospel tunes that the rest of the band, they wouldn't even know these tunes. But we just so happen to know these in common, you know?
Yeah.
But some of these songs, they predate, you know, recorded gospel music. They predate it. They go way back to times of slavery.
Baptisms mostly for us when we used to sing songs like that going down to Jordan, you know, we would sing songs like that. And we kind of just mess around with that when we're sitting at his house or just in the backstage or something and we're just kind of working on our vocals. Like, we'll do a lot of those songs.
Yeah. Is any chance we can get the two of you to just, you know, you can't do a little bit of something like that with us today? Oh, come, Cedric.
Well, it ain't Sunday, first of all.
Oh, yeah. There's the excuse.
Sunday.
What if I asked Desiree?
It would have to be with you, Sha. You would have to do that one with me.
Yeah, just do a little bit of it. Even if it's like a short, you know, 30-second thing.
You want to do it?
I love to praise. Okay.
I love to praise him. I love to praise him. I love to praise him. Oh, I love to praise his holy name.
He's my rock, my sword.
He's my will.
In the middle of the wheel,
I know he'll never let me down.
He's just a jewel that I have found.
Oh, hallelujah.
I love to praise his name.
Oh, hallelujah. I love to praise his name. Oh, hallelujah.
I love to praise his name.
I love to praise his holy name.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you for doing that, you guys. I wish we, you know, that you people could see what's going on in the studio because there was some hand raising and everything going on. Also, I wish people could have seen your face, Desiree. A real interesting, what memories do you have of that song?
All the way going back to church.
Is there your mother, grandmother, somebody who also sang? Your mom.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and I'm not sure how to really describe this, except that, you know, I mean, you're a young woman, and there was this really old look that came across your face as you were singing. It was this really cool thing to watch.
Yes, very much so.
Have you had other people tell you that?
No, it takes me back home.
Yeah.
It takes me all the way back home, and home is just these different roots. It brings out just a completely different person in me.
Yeah.
Southern.
Your mom sang in church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And there was that type of kind of gospel church singing around the house?
Yes.
Also?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Do you remember as a little kid that she would sing gospels?
Well, ever since I was small, she baptized me, and then I got in the choir right behind her. So we all sang in the choir ever since I was small.
Did you have siblings?
Yes, I do.
And do any? Does he sing at all?
He's a big football player.
Yeah, he is. All right. Where is he playing?
Yeah, he's in Tennessee right now.
Okay. He's playing at a university level?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
What position does he? I'm a football freak.
Running back.
He is. Yes, okay. He is. And what's his name?
Jai Stibe.
All right. We have to watch for him.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, that was just an, and I was curious if anybody else had ever talked to you about that, because there was a whole change that came about the expressions in your face that looked
I'm glad you said it. It takes me way back. Me and him always talk about stuff like that, how we just go back to our roots, and that's where it takes us.
Yeah.
That's where it takes us.
It's a comforting feeling for you?
Very much. Very.
Yeah.
It lets me know, you know, I can't forget who I am.
Yeah.
You can't forget it.
That's a good way to phrase that. Mm-hmm. And Cedric, for you, because there's also an intensity. There's an intensity with you, period, when you're singing. But when you really go back to whether it's the old kind of Creole traditions or old song that you just sang right now, mm-hmm. there's a certain kind of intensity that comes across your face and through your voice.
You know, I think I get that from my grandfather. And the thing is, I didn't learn how to sing from him or anything. But
yeah.
I realized, like, over the last few trips that I went back home and visit my family, that whenever my grandfather and my grandmother and everybody sing together, he's the only, like, male that I know in the family that can really sing good and keep a good voice, you know, going. But it's very strong.
Yeah.
And I kind of, like, when I look at, I filmed him singing. Whenever I look at him.
That's a great idea.
And I look at myself, I can see where I'm getting some of these, like, kind of, you know. But the thing is, I didn't grow up around him singing all the time. It was only at church, you know.
Oh, okay. About how old is he now?
He's really young. He's about maybe 65.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My grandma's about maybe 65 or something. I think she's a little older.
Yeah.
No. I have two great-grandmothers. I have two grandparents, and their mothers are living on my dad's side. And my great-grandmother's in their late 80s, and my grandparents are in their, like, mid-60s.
Now, when you go to visit your grandparents,
mm-hmm.
do you play for them any of the style of music that you're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
What's their response to that?
They like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in Texas, Zydeco isn't something that's, like, completely alien to the people.
No,
you know?
That's right.
It's just that they don't really go out to Zydeco dances or keep up with that kind of music. But they're pretty familiar with it.
What about, though, some of the, you know, because that's something I want to talk to you about, too. I mean, you've done so much traveling now, and mm-hmm. the thing that's great about you is you will add some of the influences from other cultures, you know, into the music you're doing. Have they had the opportunity to hear, you know, I just think of some of the Haitian influences, although that's there in the music anyways, mm-hmm. you have brought back something very current that you have. How do they get to hear that style at all? Or do you tend to do a more traditional from this area style?
They hear it, you know, and they like it all.
Yeah.
I think they really just like it all, you know.
Yeah.
We get people that tell us, you know, y'all ever do this because y'all sound like y'all putting Caribbean art. We always get people that tell us things like that.
Yeah.
Like all the time people approach the stage and say that. But it's like really what it is not so much that anyone's trying to mix Spanish or Haitian or anything with the music. It's really just that back in the old days, like when Amade and them were playing, they could never hear Haitian music. Or they could never they could never hear or say, like, hey, I just read in a book that my ancestors came from Haiti. Maybe I should listen to their music to see if it's similar to what I grew up hearing.
That's
you
right,
know?
Yeah.
So where today we can easily do that. We can go find, like, possibly, you know, through the slave trade, I might be Senegalese, so maybe I should go listen to some Senegalese music, you know?
Yeah,
or,
that's so true.
You know, French music from the Bretagne or Bure, you know?
Yeah.
So I think today we have, since we grew up also on a lot of, like, what we would call worldly music, like hip-hop or rap or even, I used to listen to a lot of Metallica even, things like that, you know? Back in the older days, it wasn't common for a musician to step out of the box and hear a lot of other stuff, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes not knowing where to step out of the box, too, you know, before the times of the radio or anything like that, or before, you know, people went away to war and came back. You know, that's where you hear a lot of, especially with the men, you know, would come back with having heard, you know, the people they served with, mm-hmm. listen to different music, you know. I'm curious, Desiree, what attracted you to the style of music? That's
Well, he asked me to play the washboard, And I
had you played the washboard before?
Never.
Okay.
Never, but he had it all in his head. Yeah. He knew it.
He had it figured out, huh?
Yeah, I knew she could play because the way she finesses the guitar, you know, she had like a, it wasn't like she was just strumming like with a straight wrist or anything. She was really finessing and her wrist was loose and she was like, she had dynamics with her voice, you know, and she could beatbox. So I was like, oh, she has rhythm naturally, so whether she plays a rubber boy or not, like she's gonna get it. You
she's
know?
Gonna get it.
And
yeah.
I didn't expect such a dramatic sound, you know, because I've never done anything Cajun, Zydeco, Creole. I've never done it, played with a band even like this, you know. And so when I went over to his house, I said, you know, I'll give it a try and I'll see how it sounds. And when just me and him played together, I was immediately. I'll say, okay, I'm doing it. I'm good to go.
Yeah,
I'm good to go.
That's a great thing when you have that instant reaction.
Yes. It's that quick and easy.
Yeah.
That quick.
You know, it's natural.
Yeah.
And we
very
also,
much so.
We went on a tour also to Canada, playing in all these, like, French-speaking pockets where, like, people speak French in Canada, but the rest of the world don't quite know that these areas are, like,
was it some of the rural areas?
Yeah, and the rural areas.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, like, in Manitoba and Saskatchewan.
That's right,
and they're not really credited for the Francophone culture, but they have it. It's all over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Manitoba is the largest speaking, you know, in Winnipeg, St. Bonnet, that area is the largest speaking French in, well, they'll call it Western Canada, but kind of from the center over.
Yeah.
You know, there are in all those rural areas.
It's really
there.
Interesting mm-hmm. how similar they sound, especially like the people that were like Métis, they call them.
Yeah, the Métis, that's right.
They sound like people from here when they speak French, you know?
Isn't it? I've had an opportunity to spend time with.
Like,
with
to me, they
folks.
Sound more like someone from Louisiana, more than like, I would say like an Acadian from like Church Point, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
It was an experience, man. It was good.
What stood out for you, Desiree, on that tour?
On that tour? Oh, goodness. Well, he explained to me before we got there, he said, you're going to hear so much French, Chad. Just get ready.
Said, now, do you speak French?
Un petit peu.
Okay. But as before you got involved playing music with him?
No. I learned it throughout school here and there, but never took it like for actual major class.
Okay, so and let's go back to that tour then. So you started.
What stuck out was the difference in everybody's, I guess, slang,
mm-hmm.
the way they spoke their French,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't really ready for it and expecting it. And so the first place we got to, okay, I say this is French. Okay, we get to the second house. I hear a slight difference in their speech, and then we go on to like we're into the 16th day, the 17th day, and you hear just a dramatic change in the way that people are speaking. I'm like, man, they sound like you know, like they sound like they could be back at home talking mm-hmm. to us, you know.
Yeah.
And it just changed everywhere, like the Quebecois. They speak more, and you just couldn't really understand everything that was coming out, but I just heard the different accents, and I was just so impressed with everything that was going on. I was really happy to be a part of that experience.
It was really
right.
cool. It was pretty, that was the most interesting, like, French-speaking, like, Canadian tour I've ever been on in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there many mm-hmm. times, but that was the most interesting one.
Well, you know, it's so interesting when you get around some of the rural areas or smaller towns. I mean, you think about it. I mean, think about when you first moved here, Cedric, mm-hmm. and how, you know, you might be in Eunice, and then versus how somebody speaks in Cecilia.
Exactly.
You know, or Henderson.
Yeah, big difference.
You know, there's a whole different style mm-hmm. of what they're speaking,
yes.
you know, or from some of those folks that are in the, like, Lautel area,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus going to Henderson or getting down, you know, to, when you get down to Houma and Thibodeau, that area, you know.
Yeah, all one different. Thing I remember about living in Eunice is they speak fast French.
They speak fast French.
I remember that.
In Eunice.
They speak fast French.
Yeah, no matter what age. did you notice that no matter what age?
I just noticed, yeah, it was very fast.
Okay. What other things have you noticed or do you remember about the French language around here when you really started paying attention? Other things?
Oh, well, it's a very beautiful language, you know, it's very rhythmic. It sounds almost like they're singing, you know, whenever they talk. I was already kind of familiar with it, you know, having a few Creole people in and around the family and my community, but I didn't speak French that well, you know. When I came here, I was actually surrounded by older people that spoke French.
Yeah.
I was able to listen to them and try to even conversate with them. They're like, oh, you're doing a good job, you know.
That's right, because you lived, when you first moved here, you lived out by Durall. I mean,
that's
you
right.
lived, right? Yeah,
yep.
by the
Ardwans,
okay.
In Durall. And a lot of the old people, you know, they're, oh, you're doing good. You just have to take your time and keep speaking more and keep trying to listen, you know.
Yeah.
So I was trying and trying. And by the time I got to Lafayette, where there was more younger people that spoke French, I started learning about the French immersion, mm-hmm. and I actually went. And that helped me because I could understand everybody.
Now, like, when you went up to St. Anne's, are you talking about?
Yeah, or, that okay. helped a whole lot. I could understand everybody from, like, because they had teachers from France, from Africa, from Haiti, all over Nova Scotia, yeah. Quebec.
Yeah.
So you kind of learn. You can hear everyone's accent.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you been up there?
Three times.
Three.
But I've been to that area probably about, like, five times.
Yeah. What a great experience for you. Can you play something that maybe, I don't know, that might be reminiscent of what we've just been talking about with when you're up in Canada, or just something off your latest CD? I don't care.
I think I'm going to stay.
But we'd like you to sing.
Okay. we'll do a tune called Le Soleil Levé. That means the sun has risen. And that's a song that's on my album that came out like last year in October. And it's going to be, we're going to be playing around for festivals like High Jazz and all that whole season. We'll be around playing, you know, in the fall. We'll have that album with us. But this
Wonderful.
Is the song that's on there. The
all theme right.
song.
Cedric Watson and Desiree Champagne. if you are just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on krvs.org online. And please check out the website and look at all the programs. Just a great, great selection of locally produced programs. All kinds of music, all kinds of shows, actually. So make sure to do that. And it's also a safe and secure site. So we are listener supported. Please think about supporting the station and all of those programs that you are hearing on here. And my guests in the studio today are musicians Cedric Watson and Desiree Champagne. Do you play any, like, have you been playing this last year with a full band at all, or have you been keeping it kind of pared down?
For the most part, I've been playing with a full band.
Ah, what all instruments?
We have Kyle Gambino. He's been playing saxophone.
Ah.
And,
how'd you meet him?
He's actually a UL. He's a he was a professor at UL teaching saxophone and clarinet, I believe.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And we also have the drums and the bass.
Okay. Now, I'm curious, Desiree, do you ever get on guitar?
No. I'm not that far advanced.
Stick with percussion.
Yes, I'll stick with voice.
Yeah. And in what you have been doing in this last year, Cedric, is there any more of a focus on accordion versus fiddle, or is there still a good mix when you're out performing live?
I find that most of my songs are probably that I write are probably on the accordion.
Ah. Yeah. How do you write? You write on the accordion?
The melody just comes and hit me, so I pick up the accordion or the fiddle.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it just sounds like the melody would be better with a horn and an accordion.
Okay. Do you record it initially into your phone or something, or how do you...
Sometimes if I'm, like, away from my computer, I'll record it into my iPhone.
Yeah.
And then if I'm at home, I'll take and open up my computer in GarageBand, the studio
system. Sure, yeah.
And I'll record the song and all of the, like, I put the beat down in the bass lines and the chords.
Yeah.
And then the horn parts and all and the voice. I try to make it sound like at least close to the real...
What you want to hear.
And then after that, I'll give everyone in the band like a copy of it and we'll listen to it together and rehearse it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about lyrics? Do you write in French or do you write in English and translate to French?
I write in French for the most part.
That's a nice thing. That's mm-hmm. something where over the years, I mean, because initially I would imagine you weren't able to do that, to just write in French.
No, I had to just like make up words on the spot about like you left me to go away for another.
Yeah.
And then, but when I went to St. Anne's, that French school, that's the reason why I went, so that I can learn how to read and write in French. And then I could write the words down and remember them, you know?
Very nice.
So I started like writing my own songs and things that I thought about and things that were more related to my life, you know, because in actuality, like if a woman left me, yeah, I'll be sad, but after 2 weeks, I'm ready to go on and, you know, find another one. So it's like, you know, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Nowadays it's a little different. So I started writing songs about things that really mattered about nowadays.
Wait, you meant when you were younger, you would write that. Is that what you said?
Well, when I was younger, I would sing the cover tunes more like from other people wrote them. Or sometimes if I didn't know the words, I'd make them up.
Because do we want to warn women to not spend a lot of time
trying to figure out what's going on in those?
Yeah, and feeling sad if the split happens or anything
right
now. Yeah,
now it's time to sing about things that we all relate to. Other than just, not everyone's in a bad relationship, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
I write about respecting other people and how the energy you put back into this world comes back to you, you know?
Yeah.
And also, Zydeco, like peace, love, and Zydeco.
Yeah.
I like to sing about that and having a good time. And also, you know, I like to sing about like how, you know, money and things like that puts people in a bind and also separates us and keeps a lot of like negative energy and stress in this world, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like money.
Having money, not having money, levels of money.
That's always the problem.
That's right.
Other than that, there's no other problem other than stepping on a rusty nail or falling over and hurting your shoulder.
Stepping on it.
At least it can heal.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Well, you ain't got money. You just ain't got no money.
Yeah. How has your life changed, Desiree? You know, you talk about this is kind of the first time in your life where you've gone out on tour with a band.
Yes.
How was that experience? What has that experience been like for you?
The world is beautiful.
Ah.
I have been.
Had you done much traveling before you got with this band?
Not as much as we're doing, though.
Ah.
Not at all. And when it picked up, I called my mom all the time, and I would want to tell her we're here, and we're here. I want to tell her where we're going, and before you know it, like a whole year has passed, you know, and yeah. I've been all of these places, and it's kind of just like you go here and then you have to go somewhere for the next trip either a day later when you get home, and it's like, I forgot that I went here, but I was there.
That's
you
right.
know?
Yeah.
It's just the traveling is so beautiful. And when we're there, you can release, you know, any kind of demons you might have going on, or you might be able to write. You can sit back and relax, and then you can go entertain people, you yeah. know, at the same time. And I love it. I love it all.
What places or festivals or things like what has stood out for you in this last year and a half?
One of the very past tours that we just went on about a month ago, I want to say, to Portland and Vancouver.
Yeah. That was good.
Those have stuck out greatly. The one in Vancouver was the Folk Festival, mm-hmm. I believe.
Oh, you played at the Vancouver Folk Festival. Yeah. yeah.
And
that's a big deal, huh?
Yes. I've never, I don't know if Cedric has, but, you know, we shared a stage with three bands, you know, and we kind of just went back and forth with each band.
That was cool.
You know, and that was
and what style of music were they playing?
Folk.
Cumbia.
Cumbia. Just all kind of mixtures.
Yeah, they put us up to, like, they pretty much put us up with a bunch of musicians that all relate, like, in the same, but we are all from the New World, like, not from Africa or Europe, you know? We all come from, like, Canada, America, and the Caribbean, South America.
Sure.
So they had this cumbia, like, Vallenato band, and they play, like, that's from Colombia. And they had this band from Mexico, but the part of Mexico where they play kind of this Afro-Mexicano kind of style.
Yeah.
And then they had us. We were playing Louisiana Creole music. And then they had a Quebecois band and a Nova Scotian, Acadian band, all these different bands mm-hmm. playing on stage at the same time.
So would you trade off something? You'd do a song, then they would do a song,
yep.
you would trade off that way?
Yeah.
And then did you guys get to play together?
A little bit,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one thing that stood out
for
you.
That's one thing that stood out, right? The traveling and then meeting all the cool people.
yeah.